So we have two readings today from Luke. The first one is the Acts of the Apostles, and then, of course, the Gospel. And Luke is rather Eucharistic in his explanation of things. He paints great stories, but they're often liturgical. And we have a couple of examples here. This Gospel passage follows directly upon the story that we're all kind of familiar with about the two disciples on Easter Sunday, before they had heard that Jesus had risen from the dead, and they're going down the road to Emmaus, back home in defeat, and they're forlorn, and Jesus, the risen Christ, falls in with them and begins to visit with them. And over the several hours that it takes to get to Emmaus, he opens the entire scriptures for them and shows how all these different things referred to him and how his death and resurrection is actually a fulfillment of all those Old Testament prophecies. And then they go into at the inn there and they have dinner with him, and when he breaks the bread, they recognize him. And he disappears from their sight, and they go running back to Jerusalem to tell the other disciples. So that's where we pick up the story here. And as they're going back, they say, "Were not our hearts burning within us as he explained the scriptures to us?" He unpacked the word to them. And then he broke bread, and they recognized him. So now they're describing this. They're telling what happened to the other disciples in the upper room. And Jesus comes and appears before them again. And he says, "Peace be with you." And then after showing them his hands and his feet, because he wants them to understand that it's really him, it's not a ghost, but it's really him risen from the dead. And he even asks for a piece of fish and eats it in front of them, because ghosts don't eat. He's trying to convince them that this is real. And then he opens the scriptures for all of them. And he gives this extended explanation and shows how all the prophets predicted this, that the Son of Man would have to suffer and die and rise again on the third day for the forgiveness of sins. And so their hearts are burning within them as he's explaining all this to them. Well, one of Luke's points is all of these things don't make any sense unless you understand the scriptures. If you're not familiar with the narrative of salvation, if you're not familiar with all the prophetic expectation and the longing of Israel for all these centuries, if you're not familiar with the Exodus tradition and how God has always rescued his own and taken care of them and covenanted with them and predicted a final restoration of Israel, if you don't understand that context, well, then the suffering and death of Jesus is just loss and nothing else. And that's what the rest of the world thought it was. It was just, okay, one more guy who cropped up and we thought he was maybe the Messiah, but he's dead. And that's the end of that story, and we'll wait for another. But if you understand, particularly with Jesus' explanation, that all of this is the fulfillment of everything we had hoped for, then it all makes sense. Well, this is what we do every Sunday. We get nourished from two tables, the table of the Word and the table of the Eucharist. And the Word is proclaimed and unpacked for us. It's explained in ways that maybe is just a little bit insightful, more than it was 3 years ago when we heard these same readings. Perhaps we are in a different place. We're in a place of maybe more openness. Whatever it takes, somehow or other, we are nourished by this Word today. And then in a few minutes, we're going to recognize him once again in the breaking of the bread. Now, the church requires that Catholics participate in Mass every Sunday. And there are several reasons for that, but this is one of the most compelling, it seems to me. Because if you don't get nourished in this way on a regular basis, then you tend to forget the narrative of salvation. You get busy with life, and your life becomes as grounded and meaningless as the rest of the world. You know, one of the big problems in the world today, in the Western world particularly, Europe and America, is that there's a growing number of nuns, not N-U-N, but N-O-N-E, people who don't really participate in anything religious. They don't belong to a church. They don't necessarily believe in God. They consider themselves spiritual people, but that's quite often a spirituality that they get from the self-help section of the bookstore. It's not really Christian specifically. Well, those people, it would seem, were getting along just fine. And so this is modern life, and what's the problem? But contemporary surveys have shown in several occasions that those people aren't fulfilled and they're not particularly happy. There's a deep longing within them that is reaching out for something transcendent, but they're not getting in touch with it. Well, I'm not necessarily bashing those people, but aren't we lucky that we have what we have? Because week after week, we get nourished at these two tables. Week after week, we rub shoulders with the body of Christ. The body of Christ is real to us. It's sitting around us. And it's this whole experience, the breaking of the word and the breaking of the bread, but also the breaking of the body of Christ. It's what goes on in the gathering space before and after Mass. It's what goes on in the parking lot after Mass. It's what goes on in the coffee bars after Mass. You know, this rubbing shoulders with the body of Christ. It just makes it more and more real. So we don't have to reach out and long for something. We have it already, and we can rejoice in that. It's a great gift. And so that's probably the best reason I can think of for participating in Mass on a regular basis. But there's one thing more, and that is, Jesus says that the prophets predicted that the Son of Man would have to suffer and die and rise on the third day. Okay, fine. But in each of these instances, he adds, for the forgiveness of sins, and that the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name from now on. So what is that exactly? Well, yes, it's the forgiveness of our individual sins, but it's the, in a larger sense, it's the reconciliation of humanity with God. You see, humanity and, in a sense, all of creation became alienated from God by sin. And that alienation infects the world. And the world is sick, and the world is in need. It needs to be healed. It needs to be reconciled. And God offered the reconciliation in his Son, who came into our sinful humanity, into our weakened human condition, and showed us what it looks like to be divine, fully alive and fully real and infinite in the midst of that darkness. And then beckons us into that same resurrection and says, I'm not just showing you something to admire, I'm inviting you into it. You come and die and rise with me. You come and let go of the world and let go of these illusions and take on the real. And of course, that's what baptism is. Baptism is dying to all of that, so that I can be reborn into something absolutely new, into something that lasts forever, that cannot be killed, cannot be harmed. It's invincible because it's a sharing in the very risen life of Christ. It's a sharing in the very glory of God. And again, how blessed we are to know that. Everyone else is invited to that too, but we know it. And we can embrace that, and we can be transformed by it.